The Lord bless you. Beloved, this morning, we're still going to worship God. We're going to take time to worship God. But I just want to share one or two words with us in the scripture. We're going to be talking about worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Speak to us again, Spirit of the living God. Breathe upon your word. Let this word bring light to someone's darkness right now. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Let's read the book of John chapter 4. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4. Let's read from verse 4 to verse 7, and then we'll move down to verse 19 to 24. Now, this was the story of Jesus and a woman that was called a Samaritan woman. And he, now talking of Jesus, must need to go through Samaria. 4 to 7. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Let's go down to verse 19, and then we'll read to verse 24. 19 to 24. Now, when Jesus asked this woman, give me to drink, she began to wonder, you, being a Jew, asking water from a Samaritan, can this be the seventh man? Hallelujah. Why will he be talking to me? And they went into a discussion. And Jesus told her, there is a water that I can give you that you will not have to come and draw again. And she said, give me this water. Amen. And then Jesus told her, go and call your husband. He says, I have no husband. And Jesus said, yes, indeed, you have told the truth. You don't have an husband. You've been with five. The one that you are with, the sixth one, is not even your husband. But on that day, he met the God of perfection, the seventh one, who is really and truly the perfect husband. I'm praying for someone. Matoske tenda likabosh. Emperatula skinda masa tandalia. You will encounter Jesus. I said, today you will encounter Jesus. For someone, for a sister, it does not matter the disappointment of the past. The Lord is saying, I'm preparing you as a bride. I'm preparing you as a bride. Because I am your perfect husband, I will say to you, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's move on. Now from 19. The woman now said to her, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Next verse. We're reading to 24. Our fathers worship. You see, when she met Jesus, she forgot about all her issues. She said, Jesus, there is a burning question in my heart. And it has to do with worship. Our father worship in this mountain. But you Jews says in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Next verse. But Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, there is an hour that is coming. And the hour is now when you will neither worship God in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. When people will not worship the Father, it will not be location dependent. Next verse. Ye worship, ye know not. But we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. He said, but the hour cometh, and the hour is now, when true worshipers. That means there are false worshipers. That means there are false worship. False worshiper and false worship. When true worshipers shall worship who? The Father, in spirit and in. For the Father seeketh such to worship. Verse 24. For God is spirit. There is the Father of spirits. He says, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word in Jesus' name. Amen. Worship him in spirit and in. Beloved, we have praised God earlier. It's time to worship him. We're going to take time to worship God. Because I love to practice what we say. The word worship in the Hebrew language is the word shaka, S-H-A-C-H-A-H, S-H-A-C-H-A-H, shaka. Shaka means to bow down, to prostrate, to reverence. Amen. I'm sure we understood the wording of that song that was sung earlier. Our brother interpreted it to us, because for some of us, it was like Greek and Hebrew. Amen. But he says, the meaning means to bow. To worship means shaka. You are bowing in reference or. Praise God. What does it mean when we talk about worship? What exactly are we talking about? Praise God. You see, when you bow, you are putting yourself in a defenseless position in submission to God. It's an expression of honor, an expression of reverence, an expression of humility, total surrender to God. We're talking about worship, correct? Worship is an expression of honor, an expression of reverence, an expression of adoration in humility and total surrender to God. Praise the Lord. You see, when we talk about worship, worship comprises of so many things. But the first activity about worship is not the song. It's not the shout. It's not the excitement. It is the posture. There is a posture that you must have, you must get to. This woman, we're talking of a Samaritan woman that has nothing to do with Christianity. Despite all our issues and all our problems, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. There is a burning question in my heart. We have not been allowed to go to Jerusalem to go and worship because we have been termed as outcasts. But our father worship in this mountain. But you Jews are saying, no, it is in Jerusalem. And Jesus look at her. He says, let me teach the body of Christ a lesson about worship from a Samaritan woman. He says a time is coming, and the hour is now, when you will no longer worship in this mountain, nor in Jerusalem. Because worship will not be location dependent. That means if you don't get to church, you will not be able to worship. If you don't get to the temple, you will not be able to worship. I am changing the order. Jesus wants us to understand something. And this is important. The book of Genesis chapter 22, from verse 1 to verse 5. This was the story of Abraham. And this was the first place where the word worship came to be. God called Abraham, go and sacrifice your son, your only begotten son, your Isaac. Amen. And when he called the boy, they took their journey. Praise God. And their servants went with them. And when they got to the base of the mountain, he told the servants, he says, you and others, stay here. Myself and Isaac, we are going to do what? To do what? He's going to sacrifice Isaac. But he told them, we are going to worship God. Do you know that when you come before the presence of God, everything you do is an act of? When you praise, is an act of? When you worship, is an act of? When you give, is an act of? So the word worship, the word shaka, it's not just about, that's why I say it's not about the activity. And so we need to understand the real meaning of worship. So that from today, your worship can be in spirit and in. Praise the Lord. So Abraham said to the young lad, abide here. Myself and Isaac were going yonder. To do what? To worship. And we're going to come again. There is a place that God told me I should go and worship. I am going to that place. Amen. Oh, but when Jesus came, the Lamb of God, the one who took away the sin of the world, that was what he was telling the woman. A time will come, but because I'm now here, the woman was wondering, a Messiah is going to come. And we know that when that Messiah comes, we will know. And Jesus told her, he that is talking to you, I am he. I have come to change the order of worship so that nobody will be excluded. Church, from this message, the Lord is going to change someone's orientation about worship. Because worship is not about you. Let's start from here. The object of worship is who? To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. The object of worship is important. So when you are rolling, when you are shouting, when you are screaming in worship, we need to know, who are you worshiping? Who are you bowing down to? Are we together? Because you know there are other religions and you see them rolling on the floor, cutting themselves. What are they doing? So don't assume every time you see people worshiping, we're worshiping the same God. There is only one who sits on the throne. Revelation chapter 4, verse 2. Revelation chapter 4, verse 2. It says, immediately I was in the spirit, John the Beloved. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. If you go down to verse 9. And when the beast give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat, where? There is one who is on the throne. He alone deserves all the worship. Do you know that you can worship yourself? You can worship your children. You can worship objects. You see, every time your devotion, your affection, your loyalty to something is greater than that of God, that thing has become an idol. Amen. How many times have we gathered and we say we are worshiping, and your mind is on that bill, or your mind is on the dinner that you need to cook? Some of us, even before, when you wake up in the morning to worship God, your mind is on the dress you are going to wear. Ah, that, you know, customized you. Seriously. And then you lift up holy hands and you are worshiping. No, you are not worshiping God. You are worshiping yourself. You are worshiping an object, an item. Because sincerely, Christians, we are worshiping idol in error. Jesus told her, the hour has come. The object of your worship has nothing to do with location, but only him that sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen. To the Father and to the... Your object of worship is important. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Thank you, Lord. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by his power, when he himself purged our sin, where is he sitting? Hello, church. He is seated at the right hand of the... To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. That is the only one that deserves our worship. You can write down Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. You see, worship can be corporate. Worship can be done individually. But that's why I said you need to be sure who you are bowing down to. Every time you want to worship, shaka. Check very well. You don't just get to a place and you assume everybody is worshiping God. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, that was Nebuchadnezzar. When he set up his image, Daniel 3 from 14 to 15, what did he ask people to do? To bow down and worship. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, there is only one object of affection and worship, and that's the true living God. We are not even apologetic. We're not going to bow. Somebody will say, well, I would rather just bow physically, but in my heart, I'm not bowing. Christians can be very funny. But the worship that we are talking about, and that's where we're going. You see, when you identify the object of worship, the posture of the heart is where worship starts. The posture of the heart. Amen. If you go back to our text, John chapter 4. If the heart is not correct, you see, in a religious service, the activity that goes with it is what we think is worship. That's not the worship. The singing, the praising, the shouting, the dancing. But the Bible says God is spirit. And they that worship him, those who must worship him, those who must bow, those who must honor, those who must hold him in reverence, all they must do so in spirit and in and so what Jesus is saying is, once now that you have been transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, worship is no longer location dependent. You can worship God in your bathroom. You can worship God in your bedroom. You can worship God on your way to work, on the train, while driving. The important thing first is, who is the object of your worship? And what's the posture of your heart? Hallelujah. You see, when worship becomes a daily lifestyle, worship must be done in response to what God demands, not how you feel it. You know, some of us, we want to worship God. It is when you think you feel it. No. God says, Abraham, I want to worship with you. Go. And that's it. Worship, God will place a demand on you. It's not going to be at your terms. But let's quickly talk about true worship, because we want to spend some time to worship God. When we say true worship, what exactly is true worship? Number one, worship that comes from a pure heart. Beloved, the state of the worshiper is what determines the power that will flow from the worship. Let me repeat that again. The state of the heart of the worshiper is what will determine the power that will flow from the worship. You see, that's why you see, for example, if I can want to use the choir, when you see them come up to lead praise and worship, that is not the actual worship. If there is no power in the heart of the worshiper, everybody will just sing and we will excite ourselves. We're talking about true worship, correct? And do you want to know what true worship is? It's not the activities. Amen. Pure heart is the first thing. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, that you present yourself, your body, not your physical body. Now, he's still talking of your heart. He says, my son, give me your heart. When your heart is not in tune with God, you can still worship. But says, that's not true worship. Amen. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 51 and verse 10, Psalm 51 and verse 10, we're talking of worship that comes from a pure heart. No wonder David was referred to as the greatest psalmist, a true worshiper. Every time you hear David, it's about creating me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Heart and spirit. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. The issue, if the heart is not correct, the worship is not acceptable. The same book of Psalm, Psalm 24, from verse 3 to verse 6, Psalm 24. The psalmist is still talking about who shall ascend to the hill. Who shall ascend to the presence of the Lord? You remember, we talk about it 2 Sundays ago, the gift of his presence. When you're a worshiper, oh yes, who will ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who will come before the Lord to worship? Who will stand in his holy place? What's the condition? Next verse. He who hath a what? A clean hands and a pure heart. Worship Start with the heart. Next verse. Verse 5. Who have not lifted up his soul to vanity is the one that will receive the blessing from who? And righteousness from the God of his. Look at verse 6. Verse 6. This is the generation of them that will now do what? People that will come to Shaka, that will seek his face. Because when you are seeking his face, it is in close proximity. God is still looking for that generation. And I'm praying that God will find that generation in Bethel Assembly. I said, I'm praying that God will find that generation in Bethel Assembly. So that today your worship can really, because Jesus does not waste words. He told the woman, an hour is coming, it's now. When true worshipers, true, that means there are people who have been worshiping God, even in temples, in churches, all over the place. He says, God is still looking for true worshipers. Because if the heart is not right, that worship is not acceptable. See, that's the reason why every time you want to worship, your focus, your attention must first be the audience of one. I'm sorry to say this. But you see, there are times in which sometimes when I come to church, I'm in the front here, and people want to come and greet me. My focus is on the audience of one. Every time you come before God and you want to worship, and you are still, your mind is still all over the place, you have not gotten to that realm. Remember, God is, and who are we? We're spiritual beings. And so for you to worship him, it starts from a pure heart. Number two, true worship emanates from the spirit. Because when the heart is pure, that is when your spirit will be able to connect with God. Whatever is coming from the flesh cannot be genuine. I'm sure we know God is true. He says, they that must worship him must worship him in spirit and in. Even though you are spiritual, if you don't connect in the spirit, you'll not be able to worship. Have you not seen there are times in which you want to worship God? You are just struggling. You yourself know it. Because there are realms you need to get to. You need to get over certain realms of distraction. Certain realms of what? Distraction. To be able to focus on him who sits on the throne. That's when worship will be genuine. That's when it will be in, not just in spirit, but in truth. Jesus looked at the woman. He says, indeed, when the woman told him her life story, he says, indeed, you have actually told the truth. I mean, we're talking of a woman that was, in quote, an outcast. If you look at the story of this woman, when she left the water pot to go back to go and what? Evangelize. Amen. The Bible says she began to call all the men. It's interesting. How many of us know the profession of this woman? She's with the deceased husband, correct? Do you think she will be that free to be inviting other men? Hello, church. No. You know the society that we are. Not every man will want to associate with her. But the Bible says she was able to tell men. That means there are men in her life that are probably her customer. It says, come see another man. I've met the seventh one, and this is real. When worship comes from the depth of your heart, that's when it becomes in spirit and in. And you are not just wasting your time. Come see a man who told me everything that I have ever done. And when they came, they said, it's not just because you told us, but we also heard him with our own ears. And we know this indeed is Messiah. We're talking of worship. But what caused this woman to connect is because she has a desire. Her heart is pure. She has nothing to hide. When you come before God and you are still partitioning different things, it says, let's keep this one in this heart. Let's just worship God. And when we finish, we'll go and deal with that later. No. You are only exciting yourself. You are only exciting the body. Worship, true worship, number one, must come from where? A pure heart, created. No wonder. You see, every time you see the psalmist talk about a pure heart. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. A right spirit. The issue of the heart, church. And let me rephrase again. The Bible says, no man shall see the Lord if you don't follow peace with all men and holiness. When the heart is not pure, it's not correct. Other activities, we will see you in church. You can pray, dance, jump up. And we're wondering, why are you not connecting with the God of heaven? He says, you need to first of all deal with the posture of the heart, the issue of the heart. It's important. Amen. Because when the heart is not correct, your spirit will not be able to connect with the Spirit of God. For God is spirit. And they that must worship him. When it's time to shaka, it's not just about your song. That's why you will see someone raise the song and everybody can know that there is no life in this song. And the next person will come up and raise the same song and the Spirit of God will move. The power behind worship. Is the spirit of the worshiper, not the song. So, not the activity about worship. True worship must emanate from the spirit. Number three, and then we'll begin to worship God. True worship must be at God's term. T-E-R-M. It's term. Not your own time. God told Abraham, go and sacrifice Isaac in one of the months that I will show you. Abraham did not have all the luxury in the world to say, no, I will go at my time. Oh, yes, you want to worship God. Do you know that there are times in which God will wake you up and place a demand and say, this is what I want you to do now. Everything that we do is an act of what? Worship. Even when you bring your sacrifice. When we talk about sacrifice, you are laying down, first of all, yourself, your heart. Because if the heart is not correct, then the actual terms that God is giving you, you will not even understand what you are doing. The psalmist in Psalm 95 from verse 6 to verse 7. Psalm 95 from verse 6 to verse 7. He says, oh, come, let us worship and do what? And bow down, just like that brother told us, and kneel down. Let us kneel before who? The Lord. Next verse. He is our God. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. A sheep will not tell the shepherd, I'm not ready to do this. No. You want to worship, you must worship at his time. In the same Psalm 100 and verse 2, still talking about worship. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence. With what? Come! When he demands it, not when you think you are ready. Not when, you see, some of us will say, I'm still dealing with this, so I'm not ready to really, you are not worshiping. Because when they ask, you must obey. When we're talking about allegiance to God, you see, when the worship we're talking about now, when you still see it as, when we come before God, he says, I have 30 minutes. And the first 5 minutes, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Lion of the tribe of Judah. After the next one, you say, God, now listen. The next 25 minutes, you are tabling all your issues. You see, these papers, this health issue, this business, this. You are not worshiping. Are we together, church? We're talking about true. I'm not just talking about worship. True worship is not about yourself. Amen. True worship is focused on him, the audience of one. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 18, Holy Spirit, help us. 2 Chronicles 20, 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And how many with him? All Judah. All the inhabitants of Judah. The Bible says they fell before the Lord. What were they doing? Please, let's rise up. The first thing we're going to do, we're going to worship God. But the first song we want to take has to do with the fact that we need to forget about ourselves. Because when you come before him to worship, your attention, your devotion must be on him. In the place of worship, do you know that sometimes you may even forget you have need because you are just basking in his glory? And yes, there is a God in heaven. That when you come before his presence, when Moses departed from the presence of the Lord, he never remained the same. The Shekinah glory, we talk about the gift of his presence. When you come before him in worship, and God leaves a token of his presence in your life, oh, that man will never remain the same. Because doors will begin to open for you. People that did not know you before, they will see something that is different in you.